Good morning. You probably did not know that when you left for church this morning, you would come on one of the most controversial weekends of the year. In our first reading, we hear from Joshua this challenge that you must today either choose God or choose the pagan gods that you worship. We hear from Jesus in the gospel about the continued teaching on the Eucharist and how many people stopped following Jesus because they just could not handle this idea of eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And in our second reading from St. Paul to the Ephesians, we hear this famous line, "Wives, be subordinate to your husbands." Subjects of controversy and sometimes debate. I told a couple of the guys in the sacristy before Mass today that I was going to preach on the second reading, "Wives, be subordinate to their husbands." They both were facing towards the counter, and at the same time, their heads pop up and turn and stare. And one of them made some comment to the effect that he would come and clean up my mess later as I was lying dead. I told one of the girls before Mass who's serving, I said, "Wives, be subordinate to your husbands. It means that you should be a slave to him." And she said, "Well, why can't he be my slave?" And you see what happens when we go to interpret this verse and many verses in Scripture is that we commit a fundamental error. It is called eisegesis. It's a very fancy word for you're reading your own experience into the Scripture. Now, we all read the Bible, and one of the challenges is getting meaning out of it that is fit for me. I talk to a lot of people who say, "Father, I'm reading the Bible, but I don't understand it, or I don't understand how it relates to me." And so what we do sometimes is then we take our preconceived ideas of marriage and other topics that the Bible's speaking on, and we read that into the Bible instead of the other way around, really understanding the Bible within its own context. Many of us do this with this line, "Wives, be subordinate to your husbands." I remember in seminary, we'd have movie night every Friday night. And one weekend, they decided to show a movie called The Quiet Man with John Wayne and Maureen O'Hara. Some of you have seen this movie. I'd never seen it before, so I went down to watch it. And John Wayne is a former boxer who moves to Ireland to his ancestral home. And he meets a fiery red-headed lady there who he falls in love with. And she falls in love with him, but she has a really weird way of letting him know it, kind of mean to him. In fact, they won't begin courting, and they are instructed, as is the custom there, to be chaperoned by an older gentleman. So he's riding behind them in this cart as they're walking along, and he's not touching her. He's just walking along, and he turns, and he says, "That's a lovely bonnet you're wearing." Well, being the fiery redhead and opinionated woman that she was, she turned to him and she says, "It's not a bonnet." Evidently, it was some other type of hat, and he got it wrong and insulted her in the process. Men, you know how this works, right? You get in trouble for seemingly nothing. And so he reaches out and tries to calm her down, and she takes a swing at him. And the old gentleman who's chaperoning him says, "Have the good manners to not hit the man before he's your husband and he can hit you back." Is that your image of marriage? Many of you did grow up with both physical and verbal abuse at home. Some of you with just an image that the man was the master of the house and the wife was somewhat of a slave. And what we tend to do is we read these scriptures and we bring those ideas into scripture. And again, we call this eisegesis, which is a great error. A Catholic reading of Scripture means we need to go back to what is called the literal meaning of Scripture. And by literal, I don't mean literal like we say literal, literally, you know, everything today. I literally got run over by a truck. Well, then why are you standing here? Our kids, they put literal in front of everything as a modifier. We're not talking about that. When we talk about the literal meaning of Scripture, what we want to do is we want to go back to the original context, the original language, and the original intent of the author. And what is the original intent of St. Paul to the Ephesians? It's to show them that there is a different standard for marriage than the one that surrounds them. Because they did live in a society where the man often ruled over the woman. And St. Paul is saying, yes, be subordinate to your husbands. But what did he say right before that? And how many of you missed it? He says, be subordinate to each other. We bring these preconceived ideas of manhood and womanhood, of what it means to treat a woman like, and we bring that into Scripture. And St. Paul today challenges you to a different standard. And what is that standard? He says it's Christ and the church. Christ being the groom, and the church being the bride. And men, what did Christ do for his church? He died for it, right? He sacrificed for it. He forgave it and continues to forgive it. There is no end to his forgiveness. He supports it. So St. Paul's saying, men, that's your standard. That's your standard for loving, is loving like Jesus Christ. Wives, you've probably had at least seen the example, if not personally experienced it, of driving with your husband on a long trip. And most men, they know where they're going, whether they know where they're going or not, right? And you try to give him directions. Turn there, turn here. And you know what? There's actually a great truth behind that, because God made men to be really good at accomplishing goals, from moving from point A to point B. And he made women really good at helping them to determine the direction, of motivating them one way or the other. I once heard a theologian describe it, I think appropriately so, as a bow and an arrow. That the man is like the arrow, but the woman is like the bow that shoots the arrow. They complement one another. And in the standard that St. Paul gives us, ladies, he compares you to the church. A church that is faithful to its groom, who prays often and encourages your husband, supporting him in what he does, but also giving him direction when he needs it. You see, if we take what we grew up with and what we observe around us in our society as the standard for marriage, then it's real easy to hear these words, wives, be subordinate to your husband, and to think, I don't want a husband who sits around and watches NASCAR and drinks beer and is really proud of his lawn, and that's it. That's not worth following. But if your husband is like Jesus Christ and wants to die for you, even in those little ways, that is forgiving and supportive and loving at all times, then that's a man worth getting behind and supporting. And if you actually go back into this scripture in its original language, this word subordinate can also be translated submissive, which comes from the Latin submissio, which means to be under the mission of. And ladies, what mission does your husband, or those of you who are not married, does your future husband have? Again, if his mission is to sit around and be served, then yes, don't follow him. That's not a mission worth following. But if his mission is to get you to heaven, isn't that something that you can support and get behind and be submissive to? St. Paul concludes with something very beautiful at the end of the reading. He says, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. And he says, the two become one flesh. But right after that, he throws this twist into it. He says, but he's talking about Christ and the church. So I want you to think for a moment. Where does a one flesh union occur between Christ and his church? Where does a one flesh union occur between Christ and his church? It's in the Eucharist. The Eucharist, brothers and sisters, is the consummation of the marriage between God and his people. The marriage that's spoken about in the first reading today, where God has grown jealous because we journey away from him and he wants his bride back. As you pray before this altar today, as you approach this altar for Holy Communion, consider that Jesus wants you to treat each other as men and women. Number one is he treats the Eucharist, and that is as a gift. Do you see your spouse as a gift to you? And perhaps we can also learn to treat each other the way that Jesus asks us to treat this Eucharist, with great devotion, with great love, and reverence.